Sunday, June 10th, 2007. I am the Uncle.
And I am Charlie. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us today. How are you doing, Uncle?
I'm doing pretty good, Charlie. I can't complain too much. How are you doing?
Well, I'm well. I'm a little sleepy after last night's festivities. I don't know if any of our listeners were actively reading the Game Preserve recently. They may have seen a mention about the recent Tremors-a-thon. And the Tremors-a-thon is certainly something we've been trying to popularize merely because we enjoy it. And
I believe in one of our previous podcasts, Charlie, we talked about the different Tremors-a-thons that you've...
Indeed. And so this was adding another proud item to the Tremors-a-thon list. And this is one of the big ones, and one of the more obscure ones, too. This was the 10 for 10 that we just did, wherein, and I remember we had discussed kind of the various themes, and I think you spearheaded this discussion in our previous Uncle Cast, how you could have movies related by different ways. And this was perhaps one of the loosest relations yet, because this was a selection of 10 videos, all on VHS, which I feel adds like a nice asterisk to the Tremors-a-thon, that they were all watched on a certain media, you know? Very good. And
gives a nice sense of continuity.
Yeah, so that actually is the only thing they all had in common. Please feel free, listeners, to check out the list of these videos on the Game Preserve. But they were basically 10 movies, and I use the term loosely, that I got in all at one shot at Hollywood Video a couple months ago, and by that virtue of having all been purchased at once, they became remarkable. And so it was really a good time, Uncle. I wish you could have made it, but I know we've got good plans.
It's really sad. I feel very sad that I missed out on this one. This sounded like an excellent time. What the total runtime was? What, 14 hours?
Right about 14 hours. And you know, we were really legit about not stopping it for any reason. We didn't even let the credits roll usually. And you know, I'm a credit aficionado, so that was rough. But we were trying to move things along. You know, we had to cook a little food in the middle. People took a few shifts out at the barbecue. But the idea is that if you stop the momentum, it's really
it falls apart.
Absolutely, it's very highly likely it will not start up again. You know, once the momentum's gone, that's it. So
exactly. People are just going to say to themselves, why am I sitting here watching, you know, episodes of Cops when I could just be at home, like, you know,
like that was
sleeping or doing something reasonable.
Yeah, we're 10 minutes into Chud. That's 10 minutes too much. And that's...
That's great. Now, Charlie, one of my favorite things to do whenever I get, I would say, B or C list videos is to look at the previews. Did you see any movies that might be future acquisitions for the Parry Game Preserve?
Oh, man. There were two distinct sorts of previews. One sort of preview that falls under the header of kind of what the Game Preserve specializes in, and those, of course, were on the Cops videotapes, and they were just priceless previews, because they had stuff on there like for Brave Star, for G.I. Joe the movie, like the most awesome previews ever. They were fantastic previews. And so those I just loved. And you know, a few other folks in attendance are on that same bandwidth, and they loved it. So... And then the other sort of previews, there were a couple movies, and so help me, I can't possibly remember the movie titles at this point, which is too bad, but I can go back and check. For instance, before Cybertracker, which, while sounding on the surface like a really terrible sci-fi movie, and this may be a testament to how bad the rest of the movies were, that Cybertracker was probably the most popular film of the evening.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Cybertracker was...
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
And I missed a lot of Cybertracker because I was out cooking pork chops on the porch trying to feed all the, you know, the poor folks who were, you know, along this journey with me. So, you know, I took the hit and I'm out there grilling up some pork and some kielbasa and stuff, and it was pretty tasty. But, you know, I'm looking in the window from the porch and I'm seeing explosions and walking around like I come in peace type scenes, and it looked pretty legit.
Oh.
And Roy,
Charlie,
loved it.
What an excellent reference. I Come in Peace. There's another just treasure trove, which I hope you were able to get in VHS in this Hollywood Video set, because it's not out on DVD.
Are you sure? I didn't know that.
I am pretty certain it's not out on DVD.
Well, we certainly discovered that Zardoz is out on DVD, brand new for $4, so you'd be amazed what's on DVD now.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Now, I've actually never seen Zardoz. A good, you know, Edwin is a friend of mine and Charlie's who loves vodka and horrible movies. Edwin actually owns Zardoz, the VHS, and he says it's almost unwatchable.
Well, as I do, of course, given that it was part of the 10 for 10 marathon. And it, yeah, it was really something. In fact, everybody at the marathon, except the chase, had, you know, in the affirmative, had seen Zardoz, which is pretty funny. So he got to see it for the first time, which was really delightful. And we started with Zardoz. Like, that was a rude awakening, if there ever was one.
Yeah, really?
We were just like, let's just start things off. I don't know if that's with a bang, but it's certainly with something. Started off, you know, with some strong medicine and put Zardoz in. You know, I tried to be nice. I tried putting in Computer Warriors to get things rolling gently, and Chase's VCR promptly ate the tape.
And that's so sad.
I know, but so while Royal and I, you know, field stripped the VCR, and then Jerry is all winding the tape back on the reel. So while we're doing that, we put on Zardoz as some sort of punishment for all of us. Like, all right, you know, I tried to be nice, but now we're going to do Zardoz.
Now you're breaking out the big guns.
That's right.
But in terms of strategy of the viewing order of the movies, that actually might not be the worst idea, because Zardoz clearly was the worst film out of all of the ones that you showed. And you could say to yourself, well, you know, I made it through Sean Connery walking around in a diaper. I can make it through anything.
Yeah, I think front-loading, maybe the worst of the bunch, is perhaps a great technique. Though after that, we had all the tapes in a giant plastic bag, and we tended to just pass the bag around, and some unfortunate soul would have to pick out the next tape.
Choose your own adventure.
It was pretty awesome. It was pretty awesome until the natives started getting restless, and you know, various people who were actually going to leave and not complete the marathon, which I thought was too bad, you know, said, well, I really wanted to see this movie, so if we could watch this one before I go, and it's only because I'm too nice a guy that I said yes, instead of like, you know, no soup for you, you're staying. If you want to see the three doctors for Doctor Who, you're going to watch Munchies first. That's just how it is.
Oh, that's wonderful, Charlie. But again, Charlie is, if he's anything, he's the nicest guy in the world. So if you just plead to him and say, oh, could we please do it out of order? I know you're going to bend in a second, but it might be a better technique, like you said, if you're running it, to really rule with an iron fist.
I mean, it goes along with the whole not stopping thing also, you know, because you really have to lay down some ground rules. That's the only way it's going to happen. And really, you know, the one ground rule I really enforced, because we'd be watching these movies, people like, oh, that was pretty funny, let's back it up, let's do it again. I was like, no, there's no reversing. And
there's no reversing, no rewinding, no pausing, no stopping.
Yeah.
If you miss it,
it is like the undeniable progress of the grinding wheels of time. Like, it just will go forward forever. There is no getting around the marathon. You can come, you can go eat some food, but it's just going to march on with or without you.
What a phenomenal way to run. That's really the only way to run it. Because once you open the box of pausing and stopping and you got to see this, it just destroys any momentum that you might have gained.
Yeah. So you know, you learn a lot doing these things. And these are, you know, distilling out some of the things I've learned. And really, you know, certainly a lot of crazy ideas came out of that evening, and what with all the Molson and whatnot that was required to get through the event. I think one of the greatest ideas was Chase really wanting to kind of, not so much formalize this, but to bring it to more people so that they can enjoy it. And it's really a fine idea, because it's something that we do, so why not, as I like to say, play to your strengths? He wants to, when he leaves town, you know, start doing these elsewhere, and for me to continue doing them. And his fondest hope is that 10 years from now, that this sort of activity is a more, you know, practiced and enjoyed thing.
And socially accepted thing. Well, actually, to be honest with you, Charlie, I do not think this is we're the first people with this idea. I of course, remember reading on the internet many years ago about different, clubs of people that enjoyed films that would do 24-hour movie marathons of just some of the MST3K fodder type movies.
Excellent.
But I like the Tremorsathon. I think it's just a cool, fun thing, and I wish more people would do it.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And so I've been toying with the idea, and you know how well these have worked out in the past, of registering, because it's available, tremorsathon.com, and just throwing together a little community website that lists future and past and upcoming and some ideas and whatnot. And, you know, it'd be great to do it right and to let people register, and you could build a little...
How about you get a forum up on the Parry Game Reserve before you do that first, okay?
I'll tell you what I've been working on today, actually, is getting the No Wikipedia set up. That's actually been this afternoon's project.
Has it really, the No Wikipedia?
I've just registered NoWikipedia.com, and I'm working on it right now.
Wow. Well, you know, be sure you have to put up prescription grubs.
Well, you know what? It's going to be a wiki, so anyone can put up prescription grubs.
I take it back. I'm very excited about the prospect of NoWikipedia.com.
See? Because everyone can contribute. Yeah. it's the greatest realization of the promise of Web 2.0 to ever hit the internets. I mean, screw MySpace. MySpace can kiss my ass. I think the Wikipedia is really where it's going to be.
Oh, that's going to be phenomenal.
Yeah. So that was really a few great musings that came out of last night. And just to catalog it here, so I don't forget, another great idea that Chase had was the concept of doing a Parry Game Preserve con at some time in the future, which would feature guest stars such as the fellow who built the rat puppets for Pryor's Place, as well as that gaffer that I found the other day who was the gaffer.
That worked on Night Trap.
Yeah, he did like Night Trap and Tremors and Army of Darkness. I don't even know. He did an amazing selection of films that are near and dear to the hearts of those of us here at the Preserve. And so getting kind of these C-list celebrities or lower would, I feel, make for a pretty awesome con that, you know, because it's hopefully one of those things that still... It's hard to find fertile ground, and that may be some ground, much like Pryor's Place, that for whatever reason just hasn't been delved yet, and, you know, there we are to delve it. So yeah, the long and the short of it is that the Tremors-a-thon was great fun.
Great success for all.
You know, the list of films is posted. If anybody at home cares to repeat it, I highly recommend trying out any of our Tremors-a-thons. Just make sure you have nothing to do the next day and preferably the day after.
In order to recover.
Yeah, and preferably the day before, you know, just so you can be properly lazy and know that you're going to watch 16, 14, 12 hours of movies. And honestly, Uncle, next time we got to make sure that you can come on up and do it.
Well, I've been in talks with the Chase, and he shall pay for his transgressions. I'm going to be his nightmare, Charlie.
Oh, of course.
And yeah, we're going to work it out, and we're going to get it scheduled, and I will be in attendance for my first Tremors-a-thon.
My God, that's right. You have not, the timing hasn't worked out a single time in the past.
It hasn't worked out. No, not once.
Wow. All right.
I believe the idea originally was created after I had left
it. Right. Yes, this is true. Huh, well then that is a fabulous thing to look forward to. And you know, that reminds me, in terms of things to look forward to, it's funny how I wasn't really looking forward to the Transformers movie toys until last week's Uncle Cast with our guest star, which you helped.
That's right, Mr. Dan.
Yeah, and I learned so much when, you know, seeing how excited you guys were about those toys. I couldn't really help going to my local, you know, what passes for a toy seller in the 2007, and really walking into this store and seeing how this display was set up, the movie boxes, for anybody who hasn't seen them yet, they have these great colors, like these black and red, like really solid colors, and just a beautiful presentation. They make a really striking impression on all in their display. And this store had, like, you know, half an aisle was full of these, and they had, like, an end cap, and they had two standalone islands full of Transformers toys, and I lost it. Like, everything was gone at that point. Like, all restraint, all bowing to reason had just ceased.
The floodgates had opened up.
Because really, all of a sudden, I was hit with a wash of the Cheltenham, Pennsylvania Toys R Us back as a little kid, when I would go in and see this mecca, this wash of 80s primary colors as far as the eye could see, much taller than where I stood as a young child, and seeing it there again, that same feelings of pushing this cart full of hundreds of dollars of toys that I in no way deserved but was suddenly going to own, and having the ability to now relive that experience in 2007 was just really too much to pass up. And what shifted from getting a single figure being the Optimus that I had been persuaded to check out from the great discussion that you and Dan had.
And of course, this is the $40 leader class Optimus.
Absolutely. And so if I was thinking, you know, I'll just get this one thing, and as we've heard, and that is never so easy as we may think. And Uncle, I think that a discussion of just exactly the trap that I fell into, which is a trap that you had made very clear in our previous Uncle Cast, in your new theory about somebody with a collecting mentality needs to be very careful not to make that first step.
And that first step, I was thinking about it. I came up with a new word for it. the first time anyone with a collector mentality makes that first purchase that's going to make them fall off the mountainside and just jump into it, I'd like to call Pandora's purchase.
Man.
And I would like to think that that optimist was your owned him. You need the rest of his friends.
Uncle, I think that is amazing, and the title fits the crime.
It really does, the mythical connotations of, once that box is open, you can't shut it anymore.
No, absolutely. Well, look, I think we should continue on this theme for a few more minutes right after our intermission.
Excellent.
All right, folks, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
COPS, Central Organization of Police Specialists. Fighting crime in a future time. Protecting Empire City from Big Boss and his gang of crooks.
All right, everybody, that was some music from one of the shows, one of the films, one of the videos that we watched in the Uncle Cast, I'm sorry, in the Tremors-a-thon just yesterday.
And just a tidbit out there for all of our listeners, the first volume is available out, it's out on DVD. If you'd like to pick it up, I highly recommend
Oh, what a wonderful bit of knowledge, Uncle. Thank you. That is a great
it.
point.
Yes. And also, let it be known that we actually do some research. I just checked Amazon.com. I Come in Peace is not available on DVD.
That is fascinating. I am surprised. And now
Yeah.
I will let you know that in my VHS quest for the last month, it was not at any time at Hollywood Video because I did look for it very carefully. So it
Really?
was not there for sale. And it could be because certainly, as I was told by them, and this may or may not be true, this VHS tape sale at least is somewhat thought out by their higher ups or whoever makes these lists, such that the tapes they're getting rid of are not ones that they don't have elsewhere. Like, if I Come in Peace is only on VHS, it would be, at least in theory, not one they would sell because they don't just have another copy of it. That would be one of the rare instances where they would want to hold on to the tape.
I see, so they would have at least one copy of the
Yeah,
movie.
but I believe, as we said on a previous Uncle Cast, this doesn't entirely hold true because they certainly sold Pryor's Place, and there's no copy of that anywhere, and that's merely an instance of either it's like some logic a logical statement. Either sell the ones that we have DVD copies of or that haven't been rented in 15 years.
Right. If they pull up the rented matrix and it
Yeah.
hasn't been rented in 20 years, it's probably going to
Yeah, I
go.
think it's probably a pretty simple algorithm. Well, that is fascinating. So if anybody sees an I Come in Peace on video cassette for $1 at a yard sale, absolutely
Be
grab
sure
it.
to get it.
It's well worth your time. Now, just to follow up a little more on my excited euphoria with these Transformers movie toys, like I said, I wasn't going to purchase any. Then I was just going to purchase Prime, and then due to the Pandora purchase, as the uncle has laid out, I ended up filling up the shopping cart to the brim with these fabulous figures, and I left two of them behind on the shelf. They were right there, and it was a combination of factors. One was I felt, moderately guilty buying literally like over $300 of these toys all at once, but a larger part of it than just simply that was that I kind of felt that buying them all at once was robbing some of the fun, and I may end up regretting this if I actually do feel the need to complete the set and then can't find these figures. But the chase, like the hunt of kind of saying, all right, I got to go, you know, Kmart just got a delivery, I'm going to go, you know, that's the kind of thing that you really kind of, at least for me, and it sounds like maybe Dan too, from our interview last week, you know, that's really a kind of fun part of this hobby. And I felt almost cheated if I were to be able to go into a store and just have decided on that one day to buy them all at once, because that's not usually what happens. Either I'm indecisive or whatever. So.
Charlie, you bring up such an excellent point. I mean, many collectors might say that I'm stupid. In terms of distribution, especially of the Transformers 6-inch tall titanium action figures, which have completely spotty, terrible distribution, the same way the alternators do. But by ordering these online, it's just like you said, I feel like it takes the thrill of the hunt completely out of
it. Yeah, you know, because...
And as a result, I haven't ordered anything online.
Because I'm sure you could probably, you know, at least at this early stage in the game, you can probably order them all online, right? You know?
Oh, no, yeah, you could pretty much order anyone you wanted from the Hasbro Toy Shop, any of the movie toys. I think they're still all in stock.
Yeah.
But just me personally, I don't know, I like going into a store and walking hurriedly to the toy store section and just, you know, scouring out the place and just checking it out.
100%, totally agree with you. And I think it must be the same psychology, and, you know, maybe you feel this way, maybe you don't, but kind of the same psychology that people really enjoy listening to the radio and hearing a favorite song come on the radio. And they probably have that song, and granted, I'm such a curmudgeon, now's the iPod and iTunes days, so I doubt people even listen to the radio anymore, but, like, you know, people would enjoy hearing a song come on, like, oh, it's my favorite song, it's cool, it's on the radio, when in fact they probably have it on CD.
Already on CD.
You know, you could go listen to it anytime.
Anytime,
but,
yeah.
But, you know, there's still kind of a fun thrill with that, and I think at least with a satellite radio, you know, people are still getting to experience that a little bit, so the whole idea of radio isn't gone entirely. So I think there must be kind of the same psychology at work as the idea of finding, you know, in the wild, these things, instead of kind of taking a back door to it and removing a lot of that fun. So,
you know, and I really think it's just that, it's that very same psychology that really is a strong driving force behind me, at least, wanting to go to conventions. Because the dealer rooms and conventions, it's just you never know what you're going to get.
Absolutely.
And that could be the one convention you find that piece you haven't been able to locate in 15 years for a great price.
Oh,
well, and just the multitude of random, awesome, excellent things that you see at those dealer tables. I love it. I loved it when I was a kid. I love it now. I'll always love
man,
it.
Man, that is so well said. And then for me, because I have a lot of trouble keeping track of all these things that I've seen over the years, a dealer room is great for me because it's like people saying, you know, the internet is great, but a newspaper is nice because you can flip through a newspaper and see a lot of stories you wouldn't have read otherwise. It's like going to a dealer room. You see a lot of toys or a lot of magazines or videos or whatever that you wouldn't have thought to shop for or you wouldn't have browsed for. Probably with a little work, just about everything in that dealer room can be found, you know, online at your favorite various retailer or eBay alternatives. But going to that dealer room, it's really like a fabulous way to browse and to see all this stuff all at once and to really get
yeah.
a great idea, like, oh man, I never would have thought of this thing, and here it is, like, you know, like Mexican wrestling action movies, I didn't know about those. So there they were.
I certainly didn't either, but there was an entire table with a you know, some friendly guy who spoke broken English,
yeah.
who sold all these like 50 different DVDs.
Enthusiastically showing us which ones would be good for novices into the genre. You know, which one should we buy? Oh, well, right here, and you know, off he goes. So,
yeah.
Now, yeah.
And speaking real quick, I don't want to get derailed, but did you ever watch that movie?
No, I'm vaguely still waiting for you to show up.
Oh, gee, wow, we really have to watch that, because I watched mine.
I know,
ago.
You were disappointed, but I think you just got to be in the right frame of mind.
That's very true.
Now, and you know, just to kind of finish up with the Transformers movies toys, so yeah, I left a few on the shelf, and now it's hilarious, because here in town, I've gone to these stores again, and they're picked back to the walls. Of
bone dry.
Nothing. It was just hilarious. And so I'm thinking, wow, this is pretty funny. You know, this is going to be I wanted a hunt. I guess I got a legitimate hunt now. But so I went to Target, and amusingly, they had their stuff on sale. So clearly, you know, and I hadn't actually gotten my stuff there. So I'm like, whoops. But, you know, they were obviously picked all the way bare because they had a few bucks off on everything. But what they did still have on the shelves, which is funny, I guess because they weren't on sale, were... I guess they would be the deluxe class or the Voyager class, whatever the kind of mid-sized little 6-inch guys are, and there were three Target exclusives, and I had never heard of these. I actually have not really been very successful finding them online now that I know they exist. I've gone to like tformers.com and TF2005. They've probably come and gone on the little news posts, but maybe it is the fact that there's so many items out now, it's really hard to actually properly catalog them all.
It's yeah. absolutely ridiculous with just the different, you know, it's like every major retailer chain has their own exclusives, and then there's stuff that you can only buy at Radio Shack, and there's stuff, there's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, you know, usually, I don't know, my jury's still out on the exclusives. I guess it's pretty cool, but it's kind of creepy, too, that we have retailers that are so large and so numerous that they can all have their own, like, exclusive subsets in order to lure us into having to go to each different retailer. It's just, it's kind of weird. So, you know, I wasn't expecting this, but I go into Target, and there were three Target exclusives, and I don't think they're repaints. I think they are actually their own...
Now, would you be able to explain to me a little bit of what these are?
I would. In fact, I've got them so they're right in front of me right now, so I'd have them for the Uncle Cast. One is Hardtop, Decepticon. He's a Jeep. Let's see if they say they don't really define him as being a specific model or make of Jeep, but he looks
okay. So that Hardtop that you have in front of you, that is a Target exclusive. It's actually a repaint of one of the action figures from Cybertron.
Oh, there you go.
So it is not actually in the movie.
Okay, that makes more sense then. That does make sense that it wouldn't actually be a movie figure, but just kind of like a bonus figure of some sort.
Right.
Yeah, and that's a good point. He has a cyber key. I see that he has a cyber key here. Interesting.
Right. He also, I mean, I don't know if you've opened him up. He totally does not fit in with the designs of the movie aesthetic.
Yeah. And no, I haven't.
And that is the reason. It's because it's just, you know, they used the mold from Cybertron, which, you know, had a cartoon series.
Yeah, yeah. Excellent. Well, I so knew that you would be all up to date on this, Uncle. So look, here's the second one. Second one is Signal Flare. And Signal Flare appears to be like a tank. And he has this giant cannon on top, and I'm getting...
And with the circular, clearish kind of weapon of a spiral, Signal Flare was actually originally in the Energon line.
All right, I believe it, because there's actually the word Energon appears a few times on the back of the package. And there, in fact, I like these because there's a big black sticker across the back saying Decoder Made in USA. Because they actually have the whole RoboVision decoder thing.
Oh, they come with the decoders and the Robo... Oh, that's
But awesome. I'm so glad there's actually a sticker on the packages, because you know I always like the stickers that are put on post-production, because those are, fun. And so, it has kind of the packaging for the movie, but clearly, you know, a repaint of a toy, but it's all the up-to-date packaging, which is pretty hip.
Oh, that's very cool. And what was the third exclusive?
Now, the third exclusive really makes me excited, and this is the first one that I saw on the shelf, which really caught my interest, because I knew very well I hadn't found this one in my first batch that I bought. And the third one is actually RC. And I was really delighted that they made an RC figure. I guess RC, sadly, will not be in the movie, at least from what I've heard. Maybe that's right, maybe that's wrong. Uncle, I'm sure you can correct me, but at least...
I do not think that RC is in the movie, so your theory that awful Goo Goo Dolls song would be about RC and Bumblebee's love story, I don't think that's going to come to fruition. I think it's going to be between that Shia kid and Megan Fox,
who's
amazingly hot. Oh, that pisses
me off so much.
Yeah.
I mean, both ways would have pissed me off, but that way's decidedly worse.
It's just so much worse, it really is.
But I really am glad, you know, we all, you know, it sucks big time that they couldn't put RC in the movie, but I think it's cool they at least made a toy of her. I think it's pretty wild that it was like a Target exclusive, so I really felt lucky to stumble upon it, like, ridiculously, because I had no idea it existed. And that it's basically a blue motorcycle. I believe it's also from the Energon line, because it has the same kind of... copy edit on the back.
Oh, aesthetic to it? Yeah, it probably is then. There was an RC that was a motorcycle that also came out for Energon. I never had
it. Yeah, because it mentions ultimate Energon weapons can be used with other Transformers, so I think it's definitely from the Energon.
Yeah, that's definitely her.
Yeah. So there you are, is the three Target exclusives, and I really need to put these up on the preserve, because I can't actually find these online anywhere, which is very weird. You know, maybe you've had better luck, Uncle. I haven't looked very hard, but at the few main Transformer sites I've gone to, there's just such, like we said, a flood of information that I think you just throw your hands up in the air like, well, I hope it'll all settle out eventually, because right now it's really confusing.
Just one more thing that Dan pointed out to me that I thought was really fascinating. You actually managed to buy, I believe it was the Bumblebee versus the Cop Car 2-pack?
Yeah, the Walmart exclusive.
The Walmart exclusive 2-pack? You also bought both of those action figures in the single pack.
Yeah.
Now, maybe you could explain to me why you did that.
Because they're different. One's a two-pack, one's a single.
But they're the exact same toy. They don't even have... it's not like they have different paint jobs.
I don't know. It was hard to tell because one was in vehicle form, one was in robot. You really can't tell. I believe you.
It's totally the same toy.
But that is my explanation for what it's worth.
That they look like different
they
toys.
They did look like they could potentially be different. But honestly, like I said, I was having so much fun. The fact that I was able to, standing right there, complete the 10-figure set for the single-carded figures. Like, I could get all 10 of them right there. And that there was this two-pack that was really just beautifully done. The colors were great. The positionings of the figures in the package, like, were really thoughtfully done. It was really well presented. So just the whole, like, the production and the presentation of all the stuff there just blew me away so much that when I saw, you know, another version of it, I just had to go for it. Now, that's tapered off a little bit because I went to Target when I got these exclusives. They had a bunch of other exclusives, too. They had a Bumblebee exclusive statue. They had a Prime exclusive in, like, this hexagonal plastic box.
I think that would be the RoboVision.
Yes,
Prime,
exactly.
Which sports a repaint.
Well, and he basically, you know, is supposed to look about the same as the $40 Prime, but he's basically kind of like half size or a third size. And he transforms differently, too.
Right, yeah.
And so, but I was really tempted, but I didn't go, you know, I kind of had to draw the line. But you ask a good question, and I have little more than a weak response. So.
Wow. And just one more question before we get close to wrapping it up. Are you going to open any of these items?
Man, I really want to. And then, like, you know, I get the shakes, like my hand stays, and I just can't do it. So I don't know. I really gotta sort it out. I gotta figure out how. I gotta try again.
So you're planning on keeping these mitten packages?
No, I don't really want to. I don't know. Either that, or I'll end up buying doubles. But the thing about buying doubles, you know that it sure wasn't just me there at Walmart. There were a bunch of dealers who were carefully squirreling these away in their closets so as to assure they don't have any value 20 years from now. So, honestly, I should open them and enjoy them.
I see. I find it amazing. Have you opened any?
No, not a one. I haven't had any. Honestly, I haven't really had a chance. Like, there's been too much going on. There have been comic books pouring in every day. We've had the Tremors-a-thon. I've been busy out of the house working, so...
Oh, so there's been a lot of excitement.
Yeah, I mean, very rarely am I sitting on my hands around. But, you know, it's not a great excuse. You know, I've been too busy buying more things, of course, as the old saw goes.
Wow.
But I am not opposed to opening them. It's merely that the presentation of them on the shelf was so gorgeous that it makes it difficult for me because I enjoy how they look so much as is, because I enjoy that moment in the store so much that now they're kind of iconic of that moment. But I do also like what Hasbro's done now with the packaging, that, like, the packaging is even hinged at the bottom, so you can open the top three
right.
parts and just flip down the bubble. Like, they've totally catered to how people like to use their figures these days.
And really, in my opinion, it's about damn time.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I mean, the Japanese have been doing this for a long while now, and I'm just glad that Hasbro has finally gotten on board.
Yeah, amen. I absolutely agree. Absolutely. And, you know, we mentioned Hasbro and all things Transformers, and I know this is a painful subject, Uncle, but I was wondering if, you know, certainly we're past any sort of deadline that could have reasonably been expected, but maybe the listeners at home could benefit in some way, shape, or form, if not now, then in the future, hearing about just a couple of your recent revelations or experiences with your BotCon trials and tribulations.
Okay, so to make a very long story short, my registration number for BotCon 2007, which is going to be located in Providence, Rhode Island, which of course is the same location where Hasbro's main U.S. headquarters are, I was 427. The first 400 people get to go on a free tour of the Hasbro headquarters. Now, because there, a lot of other people also wanted to do this was a huge benefit, one of the main reasons I was going to BotCon, they had a raffle for the remaining 100 spots. Unfortunately, I did not make it in. So basically what this means is that Thursday evening into Friday morning is going to be one of the worst days for the uncle.
Oh.
Because I will have seen the Transformers movie without Charlie, and then I will have missed out on the Hasbro factory tour.
Oh man, that is rough, Uncle. I hadn't even
thought. So that's really just going to be a double whammy of what I imagine to just be misery.
I hadn't thought it through so much. That is, well, we're going to have to figure out a way around around that being quite as horrible as it sounds.
Yeah, no, it's really going to be. I still don't even have a hotel room for Thursday night.
Oh, man.
Hopefully, you know, I'll be able to get one, or else I'm just going to have to sleep in my car.
Yeah, well, it should be warm by then, at least.
Yeah, that's true. I won't, as long as it's warm.
Uncle, oh, God. Well, look, I feel like I'm really raking you over the broken glass if I make you talk about this much more, so.
It's just too painful.
I'll tell you what, maybe we should just leave our viewers with that, our listeners with that cautionary tale. And we will come back next week, hopefully with some more positive news about ways in which BotCon and the upcoming movie will actually not suck.
Oh, yes, I have the best intentions of both, but the road to hell, Charlie, is paved with
good intentions. it's thick with them, Uncle. It's thick with them. All right, Uncle. Well, look, excellent catching up with you tonight.
It's very nice to do another podcast, Charlie. Thank you so much.
And hey, give us a quick tally. How many days till BotCon?
19 days until BotCon, Charlie.
That's right, folks.
19 days.
19 days, folks. Get ready. All right, Uncle. Look, you have a great week, and we'll talk to you.
You too, Charlie.
All right. Take it easy. Bye.
Bye.
Cops, roll call. Highway, mainframe, long arm, Bowser and Blitz, sundown, hardtop, mirage, bullseye, mace, barricade, and they call me Bulletproof. These are Empire City's most wanted crooks. Berserko, Rock Crusher, Misdemeanor, Turbo Two-Tone, Dr. Bad Vibes, Nightshade, use caution in apprehending.